Now, you've been talking about this film for quite some time.
Yeah.
What were the varying reactions that you get to it?
We've been talking about it for about 8 months. I mean, that's an astonishing amount of time, because it's a very independent movie, and it's hard and slow to sell those kind of movies. And so we've been working, I mean, not every day, obviously, every now and then. We've done it in maybe 4 or 5 different countries. Middle East, I accompanied to Doha.
For the Tribeca Film Festival, right?
The Tribeca Film Festival in New York and in Doha. Yeah. Just came back from Italy, obviously Canada, Ireland. I've been everywhere, you know, as we do without studio backing, just to sell the movie. And so far, the reaction has been really amazing, almost unanimously. You know, the people who really can't bear the movie, they're not going to come up to me and tell me no one's that mean-spirited. They're going to go, hey, I really hated your movie, by the way. Just want to make your day.
No, of course not. But in the questions, the Q&As,
the Q&As have been really great. They've been really intelligent. You know, the movie goes out of its way to treat people as if they're as intelligent as the director, you know, without being clever. Just saying, this is, I'm having a talk to you and I'm not going to condescend and we're going to get on. 3,000 people outside in Doha with their families, their kids, sat down quietly and watched the movie and really loved it. I was encouraged by that, and I'm encouraged by the fact that men seem to respond just as well as women. I mean, I think one of the trepidations we had before we started was that we thought men somehow wouldn't get it. They wouldn't click. It was going to be a kind of chick flick. But it turns out that they're just as articulate about the film as the women are. And it's ranged from deeply political things, like how dare you do a movie about Arabs without really knowing you're Arabs and without an Arab-speaking actor in your lead role, to people literally weeping. A woman reviewer came up to Ruba yesterday and just started weeping. Weird.
You know? Yeah.
Which is wonderful.
Well, of course, if you like to make people cry.
We love making people cry.
Yeah.
Movie business.
Maya Angelou said, people will forget what you say, but they'll remember how you make them feel.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it is a film so much about emotion.
Yeah.
It's also definitely a film about contrast. The beautiful scenery with some of the ugly violence that's discussed.
Absolutely.
The new world values with the old school traditions. And both characters, as much as they're fully fleshed out characters, are also symbols. And she is literally married, and you are literally reaching out. And so as much as symbols are, you of Egypt, her of America, and the fact that it's an unconsummated love.
Yeah.
Just like America is married to, you know, so, and the Middle East is reaching out.
Yeah, yeah.
What message is the director sending?
Well, I mean, I think that's a tall order. I mean, I would love to think it had that kind of political reach, but certainly on a personal level, it's sending out a message of great dignity and great ethical strength on the part of the woman who was married. This is the perfect opportunity to betray her husband, or at least her vows to her husband. And without getting into the morality of that, she chooses not to. And he, as the great temptation, has the poise to not push her too far, to not anger her. You could extrapolate a political scenario there.
It's pretty hard not to, because they are
absolutely
very much symbols.
Absolutely.
On, you know, and so if you look at it in a symbolic way, here it is, the Middle East.
Well, I think the interesting thing from that point of view, which I think is a really interesting angle you're bringing up, is that neither of them are trying to change each other. And that lack of force, that lack of friction between them, allows much easier merging of each of them to each other. And so the moment you're not pushing towards someone, imposing on them, trying to impress them, quite literally, that's the moment you're open enough to hear what they're saying, who they are, let them in. And to extend that metaphor, the moment we try not to change the Arab world, and the moment the Arab world isn't trying to change America or the West, that's the moment you get to actually hear what each other's saying. And oh, right, you have your own mind. You have your own way of doing things. Cool. I've not really thought about the movie in those terms before, because I've been obsessed about personal, obviously, as an actor. But yeah, I think that's right. Quite interesting.
Did the crew have to disclose the script to the Egyptian government?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They didn't have a problem with anything in the script. In terms of values, it was chaste. There was no porn. There was no particular violence. There was no discriminatory menace in the movie about Egyptians are horrible or Cairo is like this. There are a couple of difficult truths. Ruba couldn't write a movie about Cairo without, you know, it would have been a lie of omission had she not mentioned some of the child labour, for example, that's going on. But that's the truth about poverty in Africa, not the truth about Egyptians' nastiness to their children. about the fact that young girls need to earn money at a very early age of 10 or 12 before they can afford a dowry for when they get married, for example. So that excludes them from education. The uncomfortable truth of the Israeli checkpoint, stopping buses and treating people rather rudely. Would have been just a lie to say that didn't happen. She glances off at these ideas, but she doesn't obsess on them. She just says, I've got to show you this deck of cards. That's the whole deck. But I'm going to pick these two cards. We're going to play with these ones. And so you don't feel like you're missing anything. That makes a holistic movie. I mean, it's quite honest and a cool movie.
And as we were talking about before, it deals with a deeper exploration of things that heretofore were stereotypes or taboos. And science fiction has always been on the forefront of that. And I'd be remiss not to ask you about Deep Space Nine.
Sure.
The Star Trek film is so successful.
Yeah.
And it's that portion of the Star Trek story, because they're going to be continuing on with this story.
Yeah.
Does this put to bed any DS9 film?
I think almost beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I'm very proud of DS9, but I think that it lived. And I think people really quite weirdly enjoy it almost more now that it's not showing anymore than they did at the time.
In which way?
At the time, they were forced into making choices. I think Paramount made a few mistakes about putting like two or three Star Trek shows up against each other and on different channels, so that you literally were appealing to different constituencies. And that was probably, I think, an error of judgment. I think it hurt the very end of The Next Generation, and it hurt the beginning of Deep Space Nine, and then Voyager came along, and Deep Space Nine was just a kind of flailing kid in the background that was just like, oh, and we're here too, we're doing another show. Now people actually get a chance to stand back and actually choose which ones they'd like from the whole array of this vast franchise. Deep Space has become really quite popular, and people are really, really passionate or fond of it. I'm fond of the whole franchise, really. A couple of the later series are maybe a bit cynical, but, you know, they've got to make money. And
the genetic.
That's totally fine.
Yeah.
But they've definitely put Star Trek Deep Space Nine to bed, and I think that's not a bad thing. Otherwise, you get into territory where we're like, and we're going to remake the Dukes of Hazzard as a movie, and we're going to, which they do all the time, and you're like, oh, God, yawn. It better be really entertaining, otherwise I'm not going, you know.
Oh, the A-Team, you don't really need to look further than
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I mean, and apparently it's a very entertaining movie, so that's all you're going to get, but you're not moving people here. You're just taking their money.
Yeah. Why do you think science fiction is always ahead of the curve in terms of dealing with things without skin-deep judgment?
Well, the power of allegory. Abstraction. You take the most harrowing, complicated, real-life situation and say, but this is actually just two grapes talking, and they're talking to a weird sunflower. They've abstracted the humanity out of it and transplanted into something else that is much more comfortable, much easier to cope with, and gives the writer enormous freedom. I mean, you can do really dark, full-on stuff and take it so far away into a spaceship somewhere miles and miles on a funny little planet where the creatures are barely recognizable. That and the fact that they work with massive archetypes that we can't really work with. Only Batman movies can work with those. The characters in Cairo Time, they're not massive archetypes, they're normal people. So yes, you've got the strong captain, you've got the clever doctor. They all have their adjectives or epithets. That's the power of sci-fi. I love sci-fi. Computer games, I love any escapes. Give me them all, I'll take all of them. And yeah, I think that's probably the strength of that genre.
Does your connection with DS9 compromise any ability for your agent to say, can we get him into the next Star Trek film? Have you reached out?
No, I haven't. And I don't think I will. And I think that's really cool. As an actor, I've got other ambitions. And Deep Space Nine, although I'm deeply proud of it, is not something I'm campaigning to resurrect, or that character Bashir or anything like that. Yeah, all good things.
Now, speaking of moving forward, you've got Morale coming up with Frida Pinto and Julian Schnabel.
Yeah.
You watch the trailer and it's extremely emotional just in that minute and a half. What do you hope that effect will be on audience of the film?
Primarily, I hope people don't get offended here, because I know people are very sensitive and touchy about Jewishness and Israel and Arabs and blah blah. But I just hope it's not a memoriam to the Palestinians in Israel. I hope it's not, oh, this film in 25 years or 30 years, oh yeah, there were Palestinians in Israel back then, yeah. But now they've all emigrated. They've all been forced out. I mean, it's not going to be that soon. But it's quite worrying what's going on. And everybody, frankly, knows. And it's an elephant in everybody's room. And even Jewish friends over here, like, we're just so embarrassed of what's happening. And some people are more belligerent and go, no, this is damn right.
And likely on the other side as well.
Of course, and that's going to happen. But it rolls back the clock and it goes, whoa, have a look, wait a second. This is how it started. And you know what? We're not even going to talk about the guys. Screw the guys. The guys aren't important. The guys just, they run around swinging their dicks. What's important is how the women cope with this. This is about three extraordinary women and they all have different reactions to what's happening to their country where they were brought up. It starts in 1948, so it's really novel from that point of view. And Ruud Jabril, in fact, who wrote the story as an autobiography, and Schnabel really exploit the fact that making it about the women is almost more powerful than making it about the men, because this isn't about the guns. This is about the hearts and minds behind the guns. It's tough on the Israelis, but I think that's okay. I think it's fair. It'll be moving, and I hope, you know, well, it'll polarise people. There's people who are just going to go la 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 with their fingers in their ears, whatever they hear, whatever comes out. And then, fine, bring it on.
Yeah. Just ask another DS9 question, because there's still such passionate fans.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
How responsive were the show's executives to fan forums and fan ideas? Was there ever a storyline that you went, oh, this is clearly something that the fans have been asking for, or that the fans lobbied for and got?
Yeah, I mean, to a degree. They were very careful because there was a sort of danger of their becoming a kind of, not Lord of the Flies, but they want to keep control of the farm. And the fans were very powerful, are very powerful. And give them an inch, they'll take a mile. It was one of the attitudes in the production office. So they were very careful and cagey about that. But someone like Ron Moore, for example, had his ear to the ground, and they read every single thing. They read every, you know, blog, whatever they were called back then. They weren't blogs, salon, forum, note. No doubt some of those ideas sunk in, even if they weren't admitting to it.
All right, well, congratulations on Cairo.
Thanks, thank you. Really nice to meet
yes,
you.
Yes, you too.